We're in the process of looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, through to chapter 6, verse 9. And in those verses, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's speaking to them about the right way for them to run their lives in the family. So really what he's looking at the Christian family, and he's saying this is what it ought to look like. These are the kinds of relationships that should be found in the Christian family. And we looked first at wives. We're just following the order that Paul followed. Then we looked at husbands. And then next Paul comes to children and adds an address to fathers after that. Now, this morning I only want to look at what he says to children. So, children, and we've all been children, we all are children. This is what the scripture, this is what the Lord says to you. And really, the Lord's command to children is very straightforward. It can be summed up in two words. He says to them, he says, obey your parents. Okay, obey. So the Lord requires you to obey your parents. And he quotes from the fifth commandment, where in the fifth commandment, the word honor is used, honor or respect. So it's clear that the obedience of a son or daughter must come with respect. And really, at the back of this, this is really an expression of love. If you love your parents, you will obey them and you will honor them. So that's what the Lord requires of you. And really, there are three reasons. If you might ask me, why? Why should we do this? And there are three reasons built into the text. And the first reason is the creation. The second reason is the covenant. And the third reason is eternity. Now, I can put that in lots of different ways, but there are three things that you need to think about when you hear these words, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. First of all, there is what comes to us from God's creation. Secondly, we have to think about the covenant that God made. And thirdly, we have to look forward and think about life as you will live it, and even stretching into eternity. Well, this morning, let us take these three things one at a time. First of all, creation. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, it's clear there that God created Adam, brought his wife to him, and created family. The family is a creation institution. God has given this as a gift to the human race. This is, if you like, the way in which human society is to be organized in families. And it's in the context of families that children are born. And so when God created families, he uses the family to bring other lives into this world. And coming into this world, a child is therefore, as it were, brought into the world by his parents, and he comes in under the authority of his parents. So, particularly at creation, God gave parents an essential authority over their children. And that's the first reason. It's the way God has made us and made the world. He has given our parents authority over us. Okay? And then the second reason is God's covenant. Now, if we stay, what do I mean by this? If we stay with the early chapters of Genesis, then you know that in Genesis chapter 3, we have the record of Adam with his wife, but Adam disobeying God's command. And when Adam disobeyed God's command, right? The sin, when sin entered, death came on top of it. Okay? When Adam disobeyed God on that first occasion, it was an absolute disaster for the human race. Those of you who have been learning the catechism will remember that all mankind sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. The effect of Adam's first sin was wholesale death. And it left a hopeless scene. If you read into Genesis chapter 3 and you stop around about verse 10, something like that, and you stand back and you say, well, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. The whole human race is now trapped in sin. Every heart is dead as a doornail, dead in trespasses and sins, says Paul. Utterly unable to do anything to please God or to rescue himself. And headed, by the way, driven out from the presence of God, and therefore headed straight for hell. And you say, well, Genesis chapter 3 is a disaster, a disaster. And yet, God stepped into that sinful world and said to us, I will have my people. I will have my people. And it's in that context that God comes into this world and makes his covenant with Abraham. He says to Abraham, I'm going to have you, Abraham, as my friend, as my child. I'm going to take your descendants to be mine. And you know, many of you will know Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. Let me read you those words. You know them, I know. But listen, I will establish or confirm, God says to Abraham, my covenant between me and you and your seed or your descendants or your offspring after you, listen, in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your seed after you. You see, God didn't leave us to be estranged from him, lost, and to go to hell. He comes back and he says, but I will have my people. And he particularly chose Abraham, and he chose Abraham and his children, grandchildren, and so on, after him. And you can, a little bit later on, that was Genesis 17, a little bit later on, God says something more about why he chose Abraham. Listen to this, he says, for I have known him, that means I've chosen him, or recognized him, or accepted him. I have known him that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice. So I've chosen Abraham that he may command his children to keep the way of the Lord. And he says, in order that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. In other words, when fathers, Abraham and his descendants, when Abraham instructs and commands his children, God has a purpose in mind that he might fulfill the promises to those children. And God is revealing his purposes, two things. He's saying Abraham's duty is to command his children. And then he says, and what I want to bring out of that is that the promise to Abraham may be kept. And that promise is the promise of everlasting life. Nothing less. And you have this same structure in Ephesians chapter 6. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, it begins. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We'll come to that, in the Lord. And let me turn back to it a moment. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He then goes on and quotes the command, honor your father and your mother. He says, it's the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long in the land. You see, what I hope you can see that when you look at Genesis 18, 19, you have these two elements. Abraham, teach your children the Lord will bring the promise. And you come to Ephesians, children, obey your parents, and the result will be that your days may be long. And that's why we come. I said there are three reasons. The first reason is simply the creation. The second reason is God's covenant. In other words, it has everything to do with what your parents will do for you. Now, Paul is talking now about the Christian household. And he's saying, in the Christian household, now, I'm not going to speak about other households for now, just in the Christian household, he says, children, God commands you to obey and respect your parents in the Lord. Why is this? Well, it is because your father and your mother have a very vital job to do in your life. Let me ask the children here. You don't have to shout out the answers, of course, but what do your parents do for you? What do you value that your parents do for you? Well, hopefully they buy you clothes. I can see they have. So you have clothes, and you don't look malnourished, so they feed you. You all look healthy. Your parents make sure you get an education. They drive you where you need to go. They look after you. But is that all? And is that the... Well, it's very important, but is that the most important thing that your parents do for you? No, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. What do? They bring you up, listen, in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That means that your parents not only feed your bodies with cornflakes and chicken or whatever it is, and bowls of apples, but they nourish your heart and your mind with the truth of Scripture. So if you are in a Christian home, one of the things that you should receive from your father and your mother is the nourishment of God's holy word. That's the most important thing of all. Abraham was chosen that he might teach or command his household to go in the way of the Lord. Okay? So the most important thing you will get from your Christian parents is direction in the way of the Lord. And they may give you that direction in different ways. They may do it by talking to you, by word. They may do it, and they should do it, by example. By example, when you look at your parents, you should see how they live, and you should say, well, what they say, and they read the Bible to me, what they say and read, I see they live it. They may do it by correcting you. Children do not like to be corrected. But we need correction. Even as adults, we need correction. We need the correction of the Word of God. As an adult, never mind as a child, if you're living your life and the Word of God never disturbs you, never upsets you, never says to you, stop, where are you going? Never challenges you, then you are missing something. Either the ministry is failing or you are deaf. But the Word of God comes to you and it challenges what we think we are right. That's why it says in Proverbs, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. No, fear the Lord. Listen to His Word, you see. So your parents come and do this. They will pray for you. Let me tell you that when Pam was expecting our first child, I was praying for that child long before she was born. I was on my knees day after day praying for the future life of my children. I was praying particularly for her heart, that she might be born again of the Holy Spirit. You understand, this is what parents do in a Christian household. And very importantly, they bring you to church. You know, fathers, mothers are teachers in their own home, but they and you need the instruction of the preaching of the Word of God. Don't forget that God has appointed the preaching of His Word as the instrument of the saving of souls. And a wise parent will see to it that his children are in the church under the sound of the Word from their cradle, so that it becomes second nature to them by the time they're two or three. They know that's where they belong. Now, all of this is to say that one of the reasons to obey and honor your parents is this spiritual work that they must do for you. You notice it says in the text, children, obey your parents, listen, in the Lord, for this is right. And that's a very important little phrase, in the Lord. It's a reminder that the parents will bring the nurture and the correction of God into your life. God does not give absolute authority to anyone, to no man in this world, except, of course, to His only begotten Son. He gives us limited authority in our homes, in the church, and in society. But that authority must be exercised for the spiritual good of the children. So, we have these two reasons thus far. I haven't finished. We have, first of all, we have the way God has set things up at creation. And secondly, we have what God wants to do within His covenant. He wants Christian parents to bring forth, as it were, children who are instructed in the Lord's way. Now, funny enough, on Wednesday, we had a Bible study in 1 Samuel, and there was an example there of a man, a priest called Eli, who failed in his duty. Those of you who are here will remember this, that Eli failed what he actually failed to do was to stop his sons sinning against the Lord. He was weak. Oh, he could see what his sons were doing, very wicked things, and he talked to them about it, and that's where it ended. He just talked to them. Well, good enough. It's good enough that he talked to them. But the Lord said, you should have stopped them. Okay, and the Lord says to him, those who honour me, I will honour, and those who despise me, I will be lightly esteemed. Now, Eli despised the Lord because he didn't act to correct the abuses in his household. And he is an example of a warning to us, to fathers and mothers, to fathers especially, not to despise the Lord, but to honour the Lord in the bringing up of their children. Now, I give you one more example. King David, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, it's remarkable because King David is nearly 70 years old. And Solomon, I think, is about just coming up to 30. Well, David wasn't far from the end of his life. He died at 70. And Solomon was about to become king. And you say, well, surely, when we reach that point, surely David's work is done. Surely when Solomon was growing up in short trousers and running round Jerusalem, that was when David was doing his father's job, wasn't it? Not a bit of it. He says to him, listen to a 70-year-old talking to a 30-year-old. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. Can you hear David instructing Solomon? He's not happy that he's done his job until he's in the grave. For the Lord, listen, he says, Solomon, you need to know, the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Can you hear the urgency in David's life? He knew that his life was nearly at an end. He knew that his son was now a fully grown adult about to be king. And you can see him, can't you, teaching his son Solomon, the one thing that you need to know is that you need to know the Lord your God. And I give you these two examples. There are many more. I give you Eli, who dishonored the Lord, failed. And I give you David, who was pursuing this task until the end of his days. Now, I say this because this morning I'm not particularly addressing fathers or mothers. I'm speaking to the children. And I want the children to understand that the vital nature of the work that their parents will do in bringing them up in the knowledge of God. If you go hungry, if your clothes are in holes, if you have to walk everywhere, and if your education is second rate, none of that matters by comparison with being brought up in the knowledge of the Word of God. It doesn't matter so much. It matters. It doesn't matter so much as knowing the Scriptures and being taught in the ways of the Lord. All right? So, if you take the time later on to read through Proverbs, you will see how in the first 9 chapters, repeatedly, the wise man is speaking to his children. He's saying to them, "My children, my sons, keep what I've given you. Remember my word. Don't let it slip from your heart." I won't read anything from there this morning, but look at it. Okay, and then the third reason. So first of all, God has made it so. Secondly, God has given parents this solemn responsibility to feed their children in the truth of God. And then thirdly, so you are under your parents' authority first. Secondly, you will receive from them the nourishment of God's word. And thirdly, Paul speaks to them about the blessings that follow obedience. What are the blessings that God has promised to a child who obeys him in this respect? What will happen? This is the future. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Honor your father and your mother." And he said, this is the first command, it's the fifth commandment. He said, this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. And what is the promise? That it may be well with you, peace, and that you may live long on the earth. That you may live long on the earth. Now, that kind of promise is repeated many times in Proverbs. We read chapter 3, didn't we? Listen to this. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Why? "For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." And it goes on and on and on in that vein. Listen to this. "She," that is the wisdom that comes from Scripture, the wisdom that you can receive from the Lord through his word, "she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Now there's great encouragement to children and young people in these words. If you listen to this command of God, the consequences for your life and for eternity are profound. Now, when the fifth commandment was given, it says that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, Paul doesn't say that last bit. He doesn't need to. "But that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God has given you." Now, what land was he talking about? Or you say to me, "That's easy. That's the land of Canaan." They were about to go into the land of Canaan. And what God is saying to them is, if you honour your father and your mother, I give you this promise that you will have a long life in the land of Canaan. And that is certainly what it means. But we have to stop and say, oh, but there's much more here than that. Because the land of Canaan was, if you like, the first gift that spoke to God's people of a much greater gift. When Abraham heard about the land, and when Isaac and Jacob heard about the land, and they knew that the Lord had Canaan in mind, that's not where their thinking stopped. No, they said, this land of Canaan is pointing for us to the heavenly country to follow. You see, when they looked at Canaan, they said, oh, this is just for a period of time. But in the end, it's going to be new heavens and a new earth. And I say to you that in this promise, there is concealed the promise of eternal life. What the scripture is saying to you is this: if you receive the knowledge of God from your Christian parents, right, you will discover, you will receive from God everlasting life. You will find that you have a place in the kingdom of heaven. You see, scripture is looking forward, isn't it? The Bible is looking forward to that day. That day when this world comes to an end. And it speaks to us about this day when the world comes to an end in many places. It tells us that Jesus Christ is going to return. It tells us that every eye will see him. It tells us that all will be gathered before him. It tells us that the graves will be opened. The sea will give up their dead. The entire human race will be before Jesus, the Savior and Judge, the King. And he will say to some, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he will say to others, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That is going to happen. But before it happens, parents will speak to you about the way in which to escape hell and to be received by God. They will speak to you, not just about the word of God in all its generality, so to speak, but specifically about the gospel and specifically about Jesus Christ. One of the great burdens upon a parent is to say, my son, my daughter, there is forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is vital that when you bring your children to church, as it were, they sit and they see, for example, the communion table. They look at the bread and the wine and they ask these questions. What is this? That is a good question. What is this? And the most important thing, so to speak, is that you point your children to the Lamb of God. Children here, listen to your parents when they speak to you about Jesus Christ. Listen to them when they explain to you how his death delivers you from your sins. When they lay out the law of God before you, listen to what that law says to your heart. When the commandments of God search into your behavior and you discover that you've been doing things that displease God more than displease him, that earn his judgment. When you discover the idolatry of your own heart, when you find out that you've been a blasphemer, when you find out that you have broken the Sabbath day, or whatever it is, you have coveted your neighbor's possessions, when the Lord comes and searches you out, then your parents are doing you a good job. Because that will lead you to want Jesus Christ. You will need him. You will want him. You see, Christian parents desire to bring their children to the Savior. You know, you grow up in a Christian home, but usually you're not there forever. The day comes when you, as an adult, you go into your own home and you marry someone or whatever. And before that happens, you need to have got such a solid foundation in Scripture and in Christ, that when you're on your own, you will not go your own way. Okay? You need to look forward to when you're 30, 40, 50, 70, when you're becoming weak and nearing the end of your life. Where will you be? Will you have persevered to the end? Will you have held on to the Lord? Will you die waiting to see Christ? Will you die in Christ? Will you die in hope? Will you end your days a Christian, a forgiven man, someone who has persevered, someone who has sought the Lord all his life? Is that what will happen? And it begins if you're born in a Christian home, and that's the context I'm speaking of this morning. If you're born in a Christian home, it begins there. And if you're wise, you'll never lose what your parents give you. You will honour them always. You will always be glad that they gave you a Bible, that they gave you a church, and that they gave you the knowledge of the Saviour. You see, when Paul says to children, he says, obey your parents. When he says to them, honour your father and your mother, he's thinking of two things. He's thinking of what kind of life will this child lead in the future? Will this child live a wise life? Will this child be walking with Jesus? Will this child grow up to be an active, devoted disciple of the Lord? He's thinking about your life. When this child is married, will this child organize their home according to biblical principles? Will they be faithful in the church? Will they bring up their children? And so on. He's thinking about what kind of life you're going to lead. But Paul is also thinking about what kind of eternity you will have. Where will this child be when the last day dawns and the future age is brought in, when eternity dawns? Where will this child's birth lead them? And the Bible takes seriously the relationship between parents and children. That is an instrument that God uses for your good in the end. Amen.